Hi, my name is Patricia Kathleen, and this podcast series will contain interviews I conduct with female and female-identified entrepreneurs, founders, co-founders, business owners, and industry gurus. These podcasts speak with women and women-identified individuals across all industries in order to shed light for those just getting into the entrepreneurial game, as well as those deep in the trenches. Histories, current in companies and products, and lessons learned are explored in the conversations I have with these insightful and talented powerhouses. This series is designed to investigate a female and female-identified perspective in what has largely been a male-dominated industry in the United States to date. I look forward to contributing to the national dialogue about the long overdue change of women in American business arenas, and in particular, in entrepreneurial roles. You can contact me via my website, patriciakathleen.com. Thank you for listening. Now let's start the conversation. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Patricia Kathleen with another podcast. Today, I am elated to have speaking with us, Kate Nolan. Kate is the VP of Hylete Experience at the Hylete Athletic Performance Apparel. She is the former co-founder of COO of Graced by Grit, which is a premium women's athletic apparel brand designed for the strong, self-reliant athlete who values hard work and its rewards. And she'll kind of walk us through what's happened to that. And lastly, she's the published author of Graced by Grit, the entrepreneurial women's guide to starting a business with power, passion, and purpose. She's a phenomenal book. I'm going to ask her about that as well. So welcome, Kate.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming here, I should say. You're amidst the office at Hylete.
That's so right. We're
amongst the barking dogs and the people chatting, but it's exciting to have you here.
I love it. It's zeitgeist. It's everything. And we can get into some of the office environment because I think that definitely speaks to the, you know, the culture at Hylete. Just for all of you guys listening, a quick roadmap to today's interview. We're going to first cover Kate's academic and early professional background, then drop straight into her current business titles and endeavors. And then we're also going to get into questions regarding Graced by Grit, the book, as well as a foundation under a similar title. And then we're going into the goals for Hylete and other endeavors of Kate's for the next 3 years. I'm going to wrap up with advice, which is I know what all of you are always looking for from Kate regarding her industry and entrepreneurship in general. So let's drop right into it. Where did you go to school? What was your early professional background?
So I went to University of Massachusetts in Amherst. I grew up in upstate New York and Rochester, New York. Went to a great high school there and really was looking to go to a big college, which is certainly what I found in Western Massachusetts. And had a passion for swimming, actually, all throughout my childhood. Thought potentially I would swim or play softball in college. Quickly realized that was not something I wanted to do because of the amount of hours it required being either in the pool or on the field. And I loved Amherst. And then ironically, I got pregnant when I was a junior in college. So my collegiate career was somewhat different than I think the normal woman. And so I ended up having my daughter in between what would have been my junior and senior year of college. Mm-hmm. And then I finished up my degree, but eventually graduated about just 8 months later than I would have.
Wow.
So I was, I was on fire. I was like, I got to do this. And I actually had straight A's after I had my daughter, because there was a real purpose behind graduating. And I had that vision to get it done. So yeah. And so then early career, I mean, it was definitely a very unconventional. I graduated with a baby in my arms and, at the time got married when I was 6 months pregnant, came from a very traditional background and that's what you do. So did that. And, my husband at the time had an electrical engineering degree. And so we just figured, you know, that's where the money was going to be made. So I did a different thing, odds and ends, just to get cash in the door so we could make ends meet. So I was coaching swimming, and that stayed consistent for years later, as well as starting my own business that helped organize people's homes and businesses. So we did a lot of going into small offices, helping them get organized, and same thing with homes.
Nice.
And a business partner doing that. And then I was a mom. So I was really enjoying just being a mom, despite the fact that I was so young. I got a lot of fulfillment out of doing that and had another daughter just a couple years later to to round out the family.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So you were doing that, and then when did you first drop back into like a startup? You're doing your organizational company. Did that slowly start to mesh into what you're doing now, or did was there some kind of a transitional period?
It did. It definitely did. I moved from Plymouth, Massachusetts, which is where we were living, to Encinitas, California, in 2008. And at that point, my business, which was called Absolutely Organized, was actually just really taking off, and we were getting more inquiries than we could even handle. But my ex-husband took a job out here. We thought it would be a great move for us. We came out here, and I was looking to get a job right away and sort of figure out what my next step was, because I knew I was getting divorced shortly after moving here. So lots of things happening. And I actually was approached the Boys and Girls Club here in Solana Beach, and was looking more for my daughters to join a swim team. Mm-hmm. And I think because of my questions being more on the intelligent side and knowing swimming, they said, what the heck, why do you know so much? And I said, oh, I was a swim coach, and I did that for years. I actually started a youth and master swim program also on the East Coast and got that up and running. And so they said, oh, this is perfect timing. We're looking for somebody. And so I started coaching, which was fantastic because I could be there. My kids could swim on the team. It was great. And then I saw the need in their office for somebody to really organize it. So I started to run the office, and then I started to run all their fundraisers and all of their events.
Taking it over.
Yeah. Yeah. And I created a job for myself there ultimately because I needed benefits, and I knew that I wanted to be able to have the opportunity to be where my kids were. They were still so young. And then I went to my boss, and he is a phenomenal guy that said, you know, I see your value here. And so we created a position for me where I ran sort of the ship there for the aquatics department, which I loved. And then I also started a couple different programs within that department. One was we brought in some water polo teams. I also started some really cool master's classes that were a little bit different, more of like high intensity interval training classes within the water. Mm-hmm. And then that's actually where I met my business partner with Graced by Grit, because her son was on the swim team. Okay. And so she had approached me about just, I think, like something silly, like putting her son's account on freeze or something. And then we got to talking, and she said, oh, I'm training for this triathlon. I need a coach. At the time, I was also, to make ends meet, coaching women's running groups and women individually on the side to train for triathlons. And so I said, actually, that's what I do. I can help you train for this triathlon. And in that process, got to really know her and her background, extensive business background, very different from me, very different life experience than mine. But we just clicked. And our sensibility, not only in fashion, but in work ethic and how we viewed the world, was really spot on. And we just ran together, got to know each other, and kept in touch. She completed her triathlon, and then she hired me a couple different times to help train her husband and her son. And then about 3 years after that initial training with her for the triathlon, I looped back with her because I had actually left the Boys and Girls Club, took a job that was, you know, one of those jobs that people you hear about that's like, okay, this is a life-changing moment. It was horrible. It was so the wrong fit. I was in an office. I was wearing like business clothes every day. I never saw my children. I was working, you know, 15-hour days. And even though I was making money, I was like, this is not what I want in life. This is not fulfilling me.
Right.
And so called up all of my old clients and said, okay, I'm trying to sort of figure out my next step. And in the meantime, I'd like to train you. And Kimberly was my former client and then soon to be business partner. And she and I talked about starting an athletic apparel brand, which we had talked about years earlier. And I sort of poo-pooed the idea, thinking I have zero background in fashion or design, nor do I know anything about running that type of business. And ironically, I think I knew a heck of a lot more than I gave myself credit for. And so did she, just in terms of we knew how to run business. We knew women. We knew what women wanted. And certainly with my background of coaching and working with athletes, I understood what they wanted to wear to perform. And specifically within that age group of women that we were looking at, which was women that were between 30 and 50 years old. They mm-hmm. wanted to age gracefully, and they wanted to look their very best. And we knew if they looked great, they were going to perform even better. And so that was, you know, we kicked that business off, and here I am today, having now sold it years later.
Well, even, it's interesting, the core tenets in Absolutely Organized would be, you know, crucial to running. Organization is the key to profitability.
Absolutely.
You know? And so it's funny that you didn't list that amongst those things, but entrepreneurs frequently have these, like, I call them like sleeper cells of, you know, genius spots that are they're drawing from and don't realize it. And I think that it sounds like that was one of them. So you started Graced by Grit, and did you guys take funding immediately? Did you bootstrap that? Like, I mean, apparel, it's tricky because
super
you do
tricky.
Need some capital up front to get samples, mm-hmm. right? To get anything, to get them on people, to get them tried out. What was the approach you guys took?
So fortunately, my business partner, she and her husband had capital for us to be able to start the business with. And so she invested the initial $30,000 into the business, and that bought us branding, which we felt was actually the number one priority over anything else. We figured we could hire people that could help design with us, because we didn't have backgrounds in design, but we knew what we wanted, and that was a strong brand, and we knew it was going to be a branding game out there. This was 2013, so Lululemon had been on the scene long enough that enough women knew about Lululemon and were willing to pay the premium price for athletic apparel to look great, but a lot of women were getting sick of it and sick of looking like each other. And it didn't really represent or resonate with either myself or Kimberly in terms of what the messaging was. It wasn't about the strong, powerful woman. It wasn't about the stories behind those women.
Yeah, had horrible things to say. Was this prior to or
this was prior to that? This was prior to. Okay. I think he said something about, you know, we don't make clothes for women whose thighs rub together or something horrible like that. We did make clothes for women whose thighs rub together, all different body types, all different shapes and sizes. And really, that's what the foundation of the business was we wanted to create a brand that resonated with the type of woman that we were going after. Mm-hmm. And that's what we put $15,000 towards, was towards that branding and the name of the company. So initially, we were coming up with all sorts of silly names over martinis that were just horrible, like literally horrible. I mean, one of them was like K2 Run For You, because our name started with K. There was two of us. We like to run. And we're doing it for you. We thought, okay, this is not going to work.
Right.
And so we did hire a branding agency out of New York City, and they did a fantastic job of taking what we really wanted to share with the world. And I loved the word grit at the time. This was before it became super popular. And so we wanted to use that within the title. And then they came up with Grace and Grit. And we had a big conversation about, you know, is it grace and grit, or are we as women graced by our grit? Mm-hmm. And that's where it really evolved literally overnight. And we came back to them and said, okay, you've got it. It's graced by grit. Let's go. Let's go forward with this. And so from there, we then started to build product with the additional 15,000 of samples. And so we had a team of women that were competing in a half marathon that we created samples for out of this luxurious Italian fabric that we found. It was this really high-end performance fabric that had great compression in it. It was like Hermes's bathing suits are made out of it. So we thought, okay, we're going to, you know, really be onto something here, because it's going to breathe well, it's going to dry really fast. And so these women wore they wore a pair of what we called knickers, so right below the knee compression pants, and then they wore a tank that was mesh that breathed really well, and the feedback from them was phenomenal. Like, you guys have actually nailed this. I felt so comfortable. I had no chafing.
Nice.
It dried really quickly.
Yeah.
I felt great while I was performing, almost like the fabric performed better while I was sweating.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought, okay, we actually know how to design, and that was prior to having anybody working with us. We had the luxury of my business partner's husband was the lead investor for Prana, which is a yoga and lifestyle apparel brand.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had connected us with people for manufacturing here in the United States, pattern makers. So we were able to get that sort of leg up and work with them. But, you know, I was single mom, raising two kids, not making any money during this process other than working with private clients on the side. And so it was a grind. It was a lot of peanut butter and jellies that summer.
Yeah.
And a lot of like hard conversations of, you know, what does this look like and how do we make this work?
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we did raise money from friends and family.
Friends and family, no VC, no angels.
No VC, no angels, yeah. So we went out to friends and family, and Kimberly and Jim had a great network of people for that. And we're able to raise some capital to really get it off the ground and make a couple hires, key hires that I think were really essential to the start of our business. But we ran that business. I mean, Kimberly and I, you know, we were the people at every single fitting. I was the one paying every bill, cutting every single check, mm-hmm. balancing the checkbox. You know, like we were functioning out of her home, so we had a small office there. It was chaos. We had kids, you know, our kids that were, you know, I didn't have any money to put anybody in daycare at that point. And so right. they were around, they were schlepping to places with us, to meetings, and we were hiding them in the car so people wouldn't see, you know, yeah. sort of the way that we were doing it. But it was sure. scrappy, but it was smart. And mm-hmm. it was the way, you know, we didn't want to get in over our heads where all of a sudden we had this VC saying, okay, you've got to do this and you've got to do that. We wanted to make all the major decisions.
Right. Did you guys ever end up taking investment?
So never with a VC. We pitched a lot and we tried to actually get VC because we were struggling. We knew that, you know, after about year three, we mm-hmm. thought, okay, we've got this great idea. We've got a solid business. We were able to open up a store in Solana Beach, which is a hot spot
yeah.
right on PCH, where we knew that our customer was certainly going to be walking around and seeing us. That store was profitable from day one. But in order to get to the next level as a business, as a direct-to-consumer brand, which is what we were, you know, it's expensive to manufacture a lot of apparel because you got to have all those upfront costs. And so we had to raise money. And so we were knocking on every door. And there was, I mean, you know, 99% of them were no's. But more than that were no's because people were not interested in investing in athletic apparel, especially with female founders.
Yeah, you have an interesting part in the book, which, you know, covers this Graced by Grit, your book, that covers kind of the one of the most moving parts for me as a female, you know, founder and entrepreneur for 20 years now, was one of the stories where you were, you had just finished, you know, explaining your, before your pitch, you explained the term Graced by Grit, you know, and how women have these gritty experiences that they come through with their grit, and then their grit turns into their grace,
mm-hmm.
and how that becomes, you know, their leveraging point, and how there's an incredible dialogue in that entire scenario with athleticism, you know, and sports, and how women engage and kind of exude their grit with, you know, with sports in their lives, and it pushes out through every aspect. You tell this beautiful story. You sum it up with all of the stats and figures and cute little charts that every, you know, VC wants to see. And at the end, they have this almost unbelievable comment for you and your co-founder. I think he asked, or they... I don't know if it was a he.
From the book, it was a he. Yeah, that initial pitch.
He proposed you speak in front of a podium because you had great legs.
Yep, that was their comment.
It's daunting. I mean, the concept, and yet it's not. I can absolutely picture it happening, but when you read it in print, you think, I can't, how is this? So my question to you really quickly about that is, so it sounds like the VC thing didn't, you know, with that work out, and if those were some of the VCs, better for you.
Absolutely.
Than not.
Absolutely.
I always tell people, vet your VCs like they vet you, mm-hmm. you know? But do you think, really quickly, like as a side note, after reading that part in the book, what I wanted to ask you is, first of all, the year that that was attached to, and given the hashtag MeToo movement, I've spoken with, it's very diversified. I've spoken with a bunch of female, you know, entrepreneurs in the field that feel like the dialogue is changing. And I've spoken with a large amount that have said, while the dialogue is happening, these, you know, some of these behaviors and treatments and the stats, which you speak to in the book as well, are still continuing. So mm-hmm. it's kind of this, you know, no-win proxy where, you know, we're now having the dialogue, yet it's still not moving anything. Do you think for your own personal experience you can speak to either one of those camps?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to think that it's changing, and I see some positive change. I just think it's so slow to change, and I mm-hmm. think it's going to take this next generation, like my daughters, who truly, when I ask them, do they feel like they're discriminated against as young women, just by being a woman in their classrooms, whatever they're doing, and their answer is vehemently, no, I don't. I don't feel that way. Now, they're not in the outside world. They're not trying to raise money. I get that. But I think there is a shift that's happening within that generation that it's almost like they don't even need to have the conversations. And granted, my children go to a very progressive school where there's, you know, a lot of gender fluidity conversations, and they have like a, you know, non-gender specific bathroom. And so these conversations are happening, and I'm intentionally putting them in this school because I believe in it so strongly.
Yeah.
So that's happening. You know, I would like to believe it's going to be this big change, and that the Me Too movement, all of a sudden, like, this switch turns on, and it's like, oh, women are able to raise money. We see the value. We understand that they can actually create really successful businesses that can be extremely profitable, and that having women in leadership is so valuable for the diversity of an organization. But it is slow to change. And I think that's where I hear about it time and time again. And even coming to Hylete, which acquired Graced by Grit, it was run by all men. I'm the first female executive on their team.
Yeah, I want to get into that. I'm really glad you brought it up, because I didn't want to jump in and into a cold pool and grab your hand at the same time. But do you think that, well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the acquisition, mm-hmm. and what helped you make that decision, and how you felt taking a female co-founded, all, you know, female based, into a male environment, and what the dialogue between yourself and your co-founders and Hylete's powers of being.
Yeah, so I mean, it was an interesting transaction, I will say, because we were at a place, Kimberly and I with Graced by Grit, were at a place where we were really struggling to raise capital. She had invested a tremendous amount of her own personal capital into the company, and we both felt like, to be legitimized, we needed to bring in outside capital so that people believed in it outside of just us. Obviously, of course, she did. But that would legitimize it in a way that then others would say, gosh, this is a company that, yeah, they're doing $2.5 million in revenue, but, you know, if they get capital, they have the ability to do $10 million in revenue, which is sort of that magic number in the VC world too. Mm-hmm. If you can do $10 million, then VCs start to look at you differently. I think regardless of whether you're female founded or not, I think that is sort of a magic number, which we were having such a hard time doing. And in order to get to that number too, you need investment to get to that number. Like, yeah. I said, to buy the fabrics, to produce the fabrics, you know, there's a lead time to then get it out to market and to sell it. So we were really struggling, and we were trying to come up with alternatives. You know, do we just become this mom and pop company where we just produce what we can with the cash that we have? Well, we didn't want to do that. That's what we were not interested in doing that. We felt we should be bigger than that. And then we also were going, okay, well, maybe we can become a conglomerate with other female-founded companies that are here in San Diego. Mm. There's a number of other athletic apparel and apparel companies that have been founded by women that are capturing the same market. Maybe we all come together, we hit that $10 million mark, it'll be easier for all of us to raise money.
Yeah.
The challenge with that is, you know, and this is something that I think is generational too. Those companies were founded by women that are of the generation that not a lot of women were in leadership when they were. And so it was more climbing on each other's shoulders to get to the top instead of helping each other get to the top.
It's heartbreaking.
And so yeah. That was a hard no from both of them. They're just not interested at all. And then we were at an event in Orange County trying to raise money called Roth Capital Conference, and trying to meet with investors, and ran into the founder of Hylete. And Hylete was founded a year or two prior to us. We emulated a lot of what they did in terms of being digitally native, direct to consumer, although their focus was primarily on men's apparel and really into that cross-training, high-intensity training athlete. And you know, they had a bunch of men running the brand too, so less of an emphasis on women's products. So we thought, it was sort of this light bulb moment, like, gosh, maybe we can bring something to the table for them. And I think this speaks to, I think, what any entrepreneur needs to always have in the back of their mind is this pivot point.
Pivot. Mm-hmm. Is, I was just thinking,
you know,
that.
Like, this is that moment. And if, you know, if I hadn't taken that moment, I don't think Graced by Grit would be even in existence at all. And so we approached the founder, who, ironically, his lead investor when he started the company was Kimberly's husband. And so there was certainly a tie-in there where he knew what we were up to. He certainly saw the value of what we were doing. But beyond that, he started to then go, well, wait a minute, I actually have a woman's line that's doing pretty darn well. Maybe I just need to put more resources into it, and I just haven't looked at it. Mm-hmm. And so we approached him and said, we want you to buy us, and we want you to run the brand Graced by Grit as a separate entity than Hylete. And we knew that they were looking to IPO, and so we thought, this will be proof in the pudding for you that you can acquire other brands and that you can also run them as successfully as you're running your own brand. And he came back and gave it a hard no, and I was just deflated. And I was really working that deal primarily because of the conflict of interest between my business partner and her husband with it. So it was like, okay, I guess maybe we need to shut our doors. Like this, you know, we're running out of cash. We can't produce anything new because we don't have the capital to do it. Mm-hmm. And so then I was ready to have that tough conversation with the employees, and Kimberly and I just had a sit down, and I said, my gut is saying that this is the right fit to go to Hylete, that this is our solution. And the solution for our team, I mean, we had these women that were, you know, hand to mouth working for us and just grinding away. And it was like, what are we going to do? Shut our doors? And where do they go? And what, you know, and there was this fire and passion that was still in me, certainly, to run that business. Mm-hmm. Kimberly was at a different point of her life and certainly was winding her career down when we actually started the brand. And so was really ready to wind down her career. And so we came back to the table, and I sat down with Ron, and I said, "You're wrong, and I think there's a deal we can make here, and let's talk about what that looks like."
I love that you got someone back to the table to say you're wrong.
Yeah, I know. I know. And so you know what? He did think about it, and he thought there is value in the team and what we have to offer, and it is that diversity. It's that having a woman in leadership is going to be value, and he's progressive and gets it, and it wasn't like it was intentional in any way, shape, or form prior to that of, you know, we're only going to have men doing this. It was the people that he surrounded himself were people he'd worked with for years that he believed in, and they happened to be men. It had zero to do with that, handpicking that intentionally. Mm-hmm. But he understood the value of what we could bring to the table as a bunch of women coming into the brand. And so it was a stock acquisition. So they acquired us. They acquired all of our assets. And then Grace by Grit as an entity got stock in Hylete, knowing that we are going public. Hylete's going public now. There will be, you know, a payout with that someday when we choose to do it.
When did that happen with the acquisition?
So that was June of 2018, June 1st of 2018. Okay. So it's been, you know, 13 months now that we've been a part of the brand. And that integration was, I mean, as serendipitous as it could get. I was
it? The
shocked.
Marriage was good?
It was phenomenal. And, you know, you hear these horror stories of that happening and then people getting cut soon after, or it just not being the right cultural fit. And I think, if anything, it's been just an incredible cultural fit. And what they were lacking, we could bring to the table. What we were lacking, they bring to the table. And so it's been amazing how it's all played itself out. And beyond that, now we have more women than men here at the...
I was going to say, I walked through the office, I noticed that. Did you bring your team with you?
So I brought four other team members with me. Other ones we found placement for jobs just because they had a lot of the positions already here. And they were a much bigger company. You know, they were, at that point when they acquired us, they were doing $10 million in trailing revenues for 12 months. So they were, you know, much bigger than we were. And so certainly understand the game of being a digitally native brand and had the people and the experienced people here doing a lot of those roles that we had people that were a little bit less experienced. But what we've added value to is the product, to the culture, to brand experience.
Of course.
And so that's really where the win was. And yeah, so here I sit today now, the first female executive at the table with a bunch of men.
Yeah.
And that still is true. I'm the only executive on the team as of this point.
How many executives are on the entire team?
There are six of us.
And you're one.
Yep.
I gotcha. So what, with the acquisition and moving over and the conversations, what do you think that your biggest play has been so far at being at Hylete? Well, first of all, will you clarify what the Hylete experience is?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I know people are always like, what the heck do
I love
you
it.
Do?
Tell
I know.
Me all about it.
So, you know, initially when I was brought on, it was, you know, being part of the women's product development and road mapping that and strategy as we build out the women's line. And so that certainly is still there. And that encompasses anything that's being written about. So product descriptions, blogs, anything on site that is related to women, my eyes are on that. So that's the women's Hylete experience, certainly. And then I've been also tasked with, I go out and I speak on behalf of the company. Mm-hmm. So I am second to the CEO in terms of I can go out there, I can talk to the brand, I can represent us at financial conferences because I have that background now, having been with Graced by Grit, of knowing how to pitch the brand and knowing how to speak the numbers. Mm-hmm. So I do that as well so I can, you know, to the outside world, let them know what that internal Hylete experience is. And then I've actually been building out the culture here at Hylete. So I've created our Hylete culture manual, all of our HR processes, all of our standard operating procedures. So as we scale and grow, we are prepared to do it. And that means that I know every single employee here. I work with a tool called Predictive Indexed, mm-hmm. which is an incredible HR tool that really helps identify people's strengths and motivate what motivates them so that you have higher retention at companies. And so I run that program internally here as well.
Nice. It's an incredible tool for, you know, really getting into people's profiles, like you're mentioning, strengths and weaknesses, and also just for work-life balance and happiness.
Absolutely.
For both employer and employee. Yeah. Which is kind of their pitch. Anyway, yep. There you go. Free marketing.
I know.
So it sounds like you have some pretty free, free terrain here to kind of carve out exactly what you're seeing. That kind of deals with what are you envisioning for the next 3 years? Like, what do you have goals that you're looking at?
Personally, of course, my professional goals are obviously to continue to grow with this company, with Hylete, and to build it out to be, you know, a $100 million brand, which I entirely believe that we can be, and also be the kind of brand that I like to stand behind, which is progressive, it's inclusive, it's about empathy, it's all these characteristics that we feel as Hyletians we have, that I felt like, you know, all of my Grace by Grit women had as well, and that we're talking about equality and we're really at the forefront of a business that's leading the way and leading the charge of, there's no glass ceiling for women here. Mm-hmm. We are certainly focused on, you know, if you do the work and you will get the job done, then you're going to be paid just as equally as anybody else that's doing the work and getting the job done. And I think there's a lot for me, that's something that I'm super passionate about, and I definitely envision just continuing to build that. As a company for Hylete, we're going to IPO in the next month. So being on the New York Stock Exchange and being a publicly traded company and obviously being able to raise a lot of capital with our IPO is going to open up a lot of opportunities for us, which encompass building out our own fulfillment center here in San Diego, mm-hmm. opening up our own retail experiential space. We also have a app called the Hylete Daily Circuit app, which I'm involved with what the version 2.0 is right now. That app is free to anybody to use. It's 20-minute high-intensity interval training.
I'm just going to say, it's circuit training.
It's circuit training. Mm-hmm. Version 2.0 is going to be much more dialed in terms of customization, camaraderie. We have an incredible community here at Hylete of about 150,000 dedicated customers that are, you know, our repeat purchase rate is like 60% within that group. But beyond that, we also have over 20,000 trainers that are within our community because of partnerships that we have with NASM and Lifetime Academy. And so this app will be the ability for those trainers to be able to utilize it within who they train.
Nice.
And so we're building that out, which then the rewards go back to the product. And so it's this whole ecosystem that we're really feeding here, that once you're in the community, you it's a lifestyle that you're living, and that we really will be able to provide you with not only the apparel, but the education behind that lifestyle.
Yeah, I liked the verbiage on the site, on the website, when it talked about the community and the feedback going directly back into even product design.
How
seriously they take their customers' feedback.
Yeah, I mean, just yesterday we were sitting down putting together a survey for a woman's shoe. We currently have a men's cross-training shoe that has three different insoles, so you can lift, train, and run in it. We're looking to do a women's version, but do women really want the same thing as men all the time? I don't know that I would agree with that. And mm-hmm. so we sent a survey out to our female customers and go, what do you want? You know, what do you want to see? What kind of colors do you want? What kind of support do you want? What's the shoe that, like, if you could take it from the market and make it a Hylete shoe, what would that be for you?
Mm-hmm.
And so we say we're community built, backed, and driven, because it's not only the surveys that drive then the products that we produce, but we might put a product up there, which we call Hylete product. And we did it with a woman's tote bag, and we put it up there and we said, what do people think of it? We showed them all the components, the sample pictures, everything. And we didn't get enough people to back it that would buy it. And so we just squashed the entire idea.
Mm.
And so that's really how we drive the business going forward. And a lot of that goes back to also how Hylete has been fundraising since the beginning. So been unconventional in the sense that they have been raising capital through Regulation A, which is crowdfunding. So anyone can invest in the company. We've raised over $9 million that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm such a believer in it. GoFundMe, all those
exactly.
guys.
Exactly.
So I want to circle back around now and talk about, I love the book, and I think Hylete's awesome. And one of my most favorite aspects that you said you would speak with me today about is Grace by Grit Foundation.
Yeah.
So can you give us a little feedback about what it is?
Yeah.
And
so
that?
So when we were running Grace by Grit, a lot of what we did was events. And so they were private events that we called fit shops. So they were essentially trunk shows in people's homes. So we would go to Chicago, for example, and I would host, you know, 12 different events within a 3-day period at women's homes. Mm-hmm. And they would invite all of their close friends. And we would often actually give back to their charity of choice. And so we would always offer that as an opportunity because we really felt that the give was so important with the brand. And, you know, conscious capitalism, really, that was something we valued before that term was even, I think, given. But so we would host these events, obviously, with women, and a lot of our customers were moms. And so they would, you know, love the name of the brand, Grace by Grit. It really resonated with who they were and what, you know, what their values were. And so a lot of times they would ask me, or we had a couple other women that were going on the road doing this, and they would say, you know, how do I teach my daughter how to be gritty? How do I go about that? Mm-hmm. One of the women that worked for us was a life coach for young girls, specifically teenagers. And she was like, you know, I am getting inundated with this question. What about trying to start a program called the Gritty Girl Program, where we go out and we teach a curriculum about empowering young girls to understand how to cultivate that grit within themselves? Because everybody has it. You just have to find it within yourself.
Right.
And so we did. And so we started these little gritty girl seminars, and we would get a bunch of school-age girls together, and they would learn through body movements and through conversations mm-hmm. and through a really open, inclusive environment and a safe environment to understand how to protect themselves, how to speak up for themselves, and how to be inclusive with other young girls. Because again, going back to, like, we don't need to be climbing on each other's shoulders to get to the top, right?
Yeah.
And so that then, when we were acquired, it was one of the things that I felt the most passionate about, of I can't lose this. Like, we've got so many young women out there that need to still be taught this, that need to understand the value that they have to the world and that they can add to the world. And so we decided, instead of calling it the Gritty Girl Program, to keep the name of Grace by Grit and the legacy of Grace by Grit, we changed it and we applied to be a 501c3, so a nonprofit, mm-hmm. where we called it the Grace by Grit Foundation. And so we just received our, took 13 months, by the way, to receive this. It was a long haul to get this done, and it wasn't cheap, certainly, either, mm-hmm. To get it done. But what we did was we are now going to be providing 1% of all the Hylete Women sales go back to the foundation, and that will fund scholarships for young women going off to college for both athletics and academics. Because we know that the value, if you are an athlete as a young woman, you have a better chance of success. And oftentimes, and this is for Division II and III athletes too, so we're not going after those Division I athletes because there's a lot more available to them out there.
Sure.
Certainly, we would love to be able to provide it for everybody, but we also recognize that as a, you know, a Hylete brand too, which is sponsoring it, a lot of times Division I schools have some major sponsors like, you know, Nike, Under Armour, were at the school, so we can't even touch those. So we recognize that, obviously, from a business standpoint, but also that we really wanted to be able to continue to speak to empowering women. And so the tagline of the Hylete Women's line is Grace by Grit. So every product that you purchase that's on the women's side goes back to the foundation, and you get a little tag that talks about what that looks like, and we will be starting to launch that in September here at Hylete. So there'll be a lot of content that's created around it. Applications will start to open January 1st of this year, where people can apply. I'm actually building out the board right now for the advisory board, as well as for the scholarship application board. Mm-hmm. So women that are interested in getting involved in that way and want to give back, and then we'll be hosting events too. So we hosted sort of an under-the-radar event called Get Gritty Cleveland, where the woman that's the director for the organization went out there, and we thought, how many kids are we going to get in Cleveland? Girls are we going to get to sign up for this that are, you know, that because we're under the radar, first of all, but second of all, it's an, you know, it's an awkward age when you're a teenager to get out there and to put yourself out there with a bunch of other girls and be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. We had 150 girls show up.
Wow.
And so I think it speaks to mm-hmm. what's happening in the world around us right now. And certainly the mothers were craving it for their daughters, and we're providing that as a resource, another resource that, among many great things I think that are happening for young women today, this will be one of many.
Absolutely. If someone wants to get involved with the foundation, what's the address, or is there?
So you can go
email?
To gracedbygrit.com, mm-hmm. and you can just click on there. We have an email address associated with it. It's heygirl@gracedbygrit.com. So you can email us that way. But go to gracedbygrit.com, sign up for our newsletter, check out the actual foundation on there. It lays everything out. in terms of what we do. And then you can also contact Sarah at gracebygrit.com as she's running the entire foundation, helping organize it.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
So I want to circle back really quickly one more time to the book. I know I'm kind of jumping all over. However, one of my favorite things, I've written them down here, about the book was the chapters. Everything is about grace. However, the chapters of the book are, I'm going to locate it really quickly. Let me see. Okay. We have guts, giving, reason, resilience, action, acceptance, courage, character, empathy, and enjoyment. Mm-hmm. And it's so amazing to me. And then they're all prefaced with grace through the lens of grace and how it's given by grace. And these are all such kind of crucial. I feel like you sat down with a guru or a lama and came up with, because each one of these points really speaks to entrepreneurship, you know, female entrepreneurship particularly, but it was amazing just to see the construction in that in general. How long did the book take to write?
A year,
and you co-wrote it with?
Yep, with my co-founder, Kimberly, and we thought a year, and we finished up the book right about a month before we were acquired by Hylete. And so, obviously, a lot had changed from when we started writing the book to when we finished it. We thought we'd be in a different spot. We thought, here we are, this brand that's really growing, and we've got all these great stories to tell and all this content that we can share. So people are going to invest in us. Mm-hmm. And, it spoke to, sort of that gritty nature that we both had, but also, this isn't really happening the way we thought it would be. And so I think we'd give a note in the end that, things had shifted a little bit for us. But we recognized, and we had so many women approaching us about, why did you start this? How did you have the guts to go about doing it and, to take that dream and, put it into reality? What was that process like? We had women constantly emailing us wanting to, understand that better because they had, an idea that they wanted to bring to life, and they wanted to understand what that process looked like. And as a very organized person, which is really funny, by the way, because I was diagnosed as ADHD as a kid. Mm-hmm. I was all over the place. And I was given executive functioning classes, and I would say that the best takeaway was that organizational skills that I was given, because I am the most organized person, yet the most ADHD person that could be out there. But I think that, sometimes there's so many negative things that go with ADHD. I think the beauty of ADHD is that I can see everything. Although I might be distracted, it's because I'm actually looking around and recognizing everything that's happening around me. So having said all of that, we are getting inundated by women saying, how did you do this? And how do I do this too? And so we thought, we have some great stories to tell that can share the values that we felt were so important to also starting a business. Mm-hmm. And so throughout the book, with each chapter, you can read a woman's story that represents the quality that we feel an entrepreneurship that you need to have as an entrepreneur. And so that's really where it came from. But that process, it was like every day we'd spend about, half an hour here, half hour there. We have a shared document. Kimberly and I had great work ethic where we would get up every day at 5 and we would actually work for a few hours in the morning before the chaos of the office began, but also the chaos of our home lives began. Mm-hmm. And because we knew that, obviously being moms, we wanted to be available to our kids more in the afternoons to do those silly driving things that you think, don't matter, but those are the conversations I think as a mom sometimes are the most valuable.
Yeah.
When you're in the car with your kids. So that was important to us. So we would get up early and we would just chip away at it. And it was very much like that what goes behind grit, right? Like grit, mm-hmm. having grit is not about just getting it done fast. It's that marathon that you know every day it's going to be a grind. And you just got to get through it, and that the payoff, because you put the time in and you've learned the lessons along the way, are so valuable that you don't ever want to take any part of it back.
Yeah. So if you could pick three things from the past, let's say since 2008, three things that you feel like you did great, that you wouldn't have changed, even if it was something that was bad. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be good or bad, but something that you wouldn't take back for anything because it really formed where you are now. What three things?
I would say the first and the most important for me was the team that we cultivated at Grace by Grit. Yeah. The women, so we were very specific in only hiring women, ironically, and really wanting to build a team of strong women that came from all walks of life and had such different life experience and were at different phases in their lives. and recognizing the value of each one of those phases and what every woman brought to the table. I mean, we had our first woman that worked for us in customer service and fulfillment was a new mom. She couldn't fathom the idea of leaving her baby in a daycare, and so we hired her, and her baby came to work for that first year so she could have the baby, you know, with her. And you'd hear her on the phone if you were a customer calling in, and you'd hear a pump in the background. And that was, but that was part of our story. Like, it was like, we wanted people to hear that. Like, we are empowering these women to figure out how to be successful, how to feel like they have value in their lives outside of being a mom, but also that those worlds can mesh together and you can still be productive. We had a woman who helped me. She was my first friend when I worked at the pool here in San Diego, and a mentor as a mom for me in a lot of ways, but she was super organized. And so I called her and I said, I need you to host a fit shop for us because I need women here wearing these clothes. I've got all this product and I need you to host an event. So we showed up at her house and she was like, oh my gosh, there's an hour before the show. You guys have not set up. And so she got us whipped into shape. And after I said, okay, Liz, can we hire you? Like, we want to hire you. And she goes, no, I'm not working. I don't want to work. She worked for me for 6 years. And she was my person that opened every pop-up shop, broke it down. She organized our office. I mean, and she didn't want to work. She had retired. She was a retired school teacher. She had raised her kids. She was done. But, you know, she still had gas left in the tank. And she added tremendous value to the brand itself, but also as an example to other young women that came in. We had so many inexperienced women that had never had a job before. We had women that were at a pivot point of their life, whether it was a personal pivot point of going through a divorce and having to rediscover themselves and rediscover what gave them value. And people that also left corporate jobs to come because they believed in what we were doing so strongly and were willing to take a pay cut, you know, half of what they were making before with this unknown startup. And so I would say that team for me, like, that was the best part of the entire thing. Second to that was the product we created. I still drive the coast and see women wearing it. I was just back east, and all of my, you know, friends that came to visit my family's lake house, they're all still wearing it. The product is phenomenal. The quality of the product, the way it fits, is timeless. And I think, you know, that's something I'm really working hard to strive for here for the Hylete women's line, and trying to translate that so it can have that same value. And that, I mean, that I would say the product, and really also the process of creating the product was so incredible. It was so grueling, and it was so my unknown. Like, I didn't know how to make a pair of shorts. I'd never even sewn a single button on a shirt before I started a company that was sewing clothes. And we worked with all these manufacturers here in San Diego that are incredible people. I mean, talk about people that have grit. I mean, one of the factories that we worked with was an immigrant family from India, and they had built this factory from the ground up. They had big brands like Asics, and back in the day, we're talking like 80s, 90s, where they were like just booming. Then everyone took their products and went overseas, and they somehow figured out how to survive here. And we're doing these really small runs for small brands, and we came in, this unknown brand, and, you know, can you just make 100 units for us? And, you know, then we grew with them and built these great partnerships with these local companies, and felt like we were really giving back to the local community too. And that felt really, really good. And then I would say, you know, the give back of would be the third thing that I would say. It was, you know, I wasn't making a lot of money. I was working so much. I had burnout. I had all the things that happen to people when they're just working too hard. You know, I missed a lot with my kids because I was on the road, but I wouldn't take a single bit of it back because of the experiences and the people I met along the way, and getting to those, hearing those raw stories, I would say, for the women in our community would really be that third piece. You know, women were so willing to share what was their tough moments in life with us. I was driving the coast. It was probably like year two. I was driving the coast here in San Diego, and I saw somebody wearing her clothes on the beach, and she was sort of surrounded by what looked like a photo shoot happening. I was like so excited, like, oh my gosh, somebody's wearing her clothes, and they have like a photographer there. Who is this person? So I pulled over and I went over to him and I said, you know, I noticed you're wearing Grace by Grit. And she said, oh yeah, not knowing who I was. And she said, oh yeah, it's this local company, but, you know, I don't think you even understand what Grace by Grit means. I was like, please share with me, what does it mean? And she was a mom in La Jolla, had four children, and she had stage 4 breast cancer. And she was struggling and fighting for her life. And a local magazine was doing an article on her, how she had discovered stand-up paddleboarding as a way for her to alleviate some of her stress. But she was there with her daughter, her oldest daughter, who was her primary caregiver. And she said to me once she discovered who I was, she said, I sit in that room to get my chemo and I visualize the words Grace by Grit over and over because that is who I am. That's what represents me the best. And it's amazing. Those moments, there was like hundreds of them where it's like we started something bigger and you hear these stories of women and what they've gone through. And it's like, you know, I thought having a baby young at 20 years old was hard. And it was like there, I had nothing on some of these women in terms of what they've gone through. But it provided a forum for people to feel like they could actually be vulnerable and honest and then move on. And yeah. I think there was a lot of value in that for me in terms of, you know, personal growth and development and also how I viewed the world differently over those years.
And it definitely shaped your company. You know, it Absolutely. Shapes you and you shape it. I mean, it's that synergy that comes back. It's amazing stories. I love that. So what's one thing that you would do differently if you could, looking back?
I mean, we talk about this in the book a lot. I think I would have listened to my gut early on. You know, I think I talked about this, I think, when you were, when you met me, but, you know, people begin as they intend to continue. And I found that to be very true. And I would oftentimes be like, oh no, like, you know, maybe they're flaky right now, but they're going to follow through or they're going to be different this next time around, or they're going to do what they say. And they don't. And I think, you know, my gut always knew that and I didn't listen to it well enough at the beginning. I certainly do now. And so I would say that would be like, boom, right there. On a more like granular level, I probably would have hired people with more experience in certain roles. I think I gave a lot of credit to people that were certainly capable of growing into roles and learning along the way. But when you're in the startup phase, time is of the essence, specifically when you don't have a lot of money and capital. Mm-hmm. And although it would have cost us more, I think the ROI on that would have been greater if we had hired the, you know, more experienced people. For example, we were a digitally native brand, a direct-to-consumer brand. We needed to have a website that was kick-ass, and we needed to online market, and we didn't really do that very well for a couple of years, and it hurt us at the end of the day, because I think if we had taken advantage of Facebook advertising right when it came out, where you could spend $50 and make $1,000, we would have been in a different spot than we ended up in, because we thought, oh, we'll figure it out. You know, these women are capable. They're straight out of college. They understand technology, but they didn't have the experience professionally yet to be able to tackle some of those tasks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that showed in our business.
Right. Some of the growth probably. So what would you recommend or refer a young woman starting out thinking, you know, I think I'd like to get involved in a startup apparel line of some sort? What do you think that the best piece of advice for someone kind of beginning that journey that you went through would be to do?
Brand yourself well with authenticity. And I think that is the advice I give any entrepreneur. It has to be authentic or it's, you're not going to make it. You have to believe in it, you know. It can't just be like, oh, I see this, you know, product doing so well and I want to just like jump on that bandwagon and create something similar. You have to believe in what you're doing. And I would say you better know that you're going to be the person that cares the most at the end of the day. You're going to be the person that's cleaning the toilets. You're going to be the person, you know, that's dealing with the HR issues and the person that's cutting the checks. And you got to wear all those hats and you have to know how to wear them with a smile on your face.
Yeah.
You know, or be okay being vulnerable and crying sometimes and letting people in to help you.
Right.
You know, it's people that help me along the way. I have women call me often now that say, you know, can I pick your brain on something? And then they're so grateful. And it's like, are you kidding me? Like, it was people like me that helped me along the way. Like, that's just paying it forward now and giving back.
Mentorship, absolutely. And finally, the final question is, what is your favorite thing you're going to do today? What are you most looking forward to?
I'm going to do our workout at 1 o'clock here. So every day our team at iLead, this is one of the cultural pieces that we've built out, but at 1 o'clock we have a gym around the corner and we all go do the iLead daily circuit. So we spend it's like 40 minutes door to door. And we all go up there, and it's a great break. If you are an hourly employee or a salaried employee, it does not count as time off. It is part of your day, and we find that people are more productive when they come back. They're happier. Obviously, their endorphins are going. So I'm most excited about that. I'm not excited because I'm moving my house right now, so that's like the least favorite thing I'm looking forward to later today. No, I don't want to go home and keep packing.
What is it, HIIT training that you do?
It is. Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
amazing.
That's yeah, and awesome. So anyone can download the app. It's amazing. And then people, some people go off on Tuesdays. We offer a run club, as we call it. I think there's been 4 people that have participated, myself being one of them every week. But so we do offer different things. But obviously, as an athletic apparel brand and fitness lifestyle brand, we're wanting people to wear the product. I mean, I'm sitting here in a sweatshirt and leggings, and this is what we wear. This is what we do. This is who we are. So it's really nice that we can actually live that while we're working too.
Absolutely, and I love that you guys do it every day. That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for taking the time
to talk with me
today.
Thank you.
It was so awesome. Any of you that want to find out more, you can get on the website, which is
Hylete.com for Hylete. You can also go to gracebygrit.com for the foundation.
Right. And Hylete is spelled Hylete.com. Awesome. Thanks so much for meeting with me.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. I will talk to you later. Until next time, remember to always bet on yourself. Sláinte.